This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by Organifi at O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I.com. You can save 20% of your order of their great products like green juice and their daily turmeric boost with the code FITCAST. That's F-I-T-C-A-S-T at checkout. That's going to save you 20%. Go check them out at Organifi.com. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and my guest this week is someone that came into Mike Ball Strength and Conditioning, came in and did an in-service a couple weeks ago, but my butt was up in Toronto, so I completely missed it. Luckily, part of my responsibilities at the gym is to go and edit said video of that in-service, but also there's a little bit extra that didn't get filmed. So this is... You know, selfishly, I get to finally talk to Chris Flores, and now I get to share his incredible content and information with you guys, the audience, as well. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. I'm excited to get this going.
Yeah, so like I said, this was like a really cool thing to have come up because you know this. As I go in back and edit the video, we've never met before, so I've never been able to really go in depth into any of your stuff. And also, you do Animal Flow, so I believe it's like the title is like a Animal Flow master coach.
Yeah, it's an Animal Flow master instructor.
I'm sorry. So, this is going to be great because I've never really had anyone on the show to talk about Animal Flow stuff at all. So, I'm super interested in that, and I think it's going to be great stuff to share with the audience. So we're really going to be kind of starting from zero with that. Again, selfishly for me, but again, you know, I'm sure there's people in the audience that hasn't heard about it as well. So we'll get to hit on a bunch of different subjects. But before we get into any of that, can you give the audience just like a kind of like a quick rundown of how you got to where you are today? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Oh man, that's such a long journey. I always tell people I started fitness for selfish reasons. First, my dad was big into fitness, and my grandfather always said the measure of a man was that he exercised, ate well, and worked hard.
That's awesome.
And that's pretty much been my motto for life. But in high school, I got into fitness because, honestly, it came easy to me, to be brutally honest. I was genetically blessed to be able to, like, oh, do pull-ups, do push-ups, do this stuff. I can always do it. And I saw the respect that some kids got from being in the weight room. I'm like, yeah, I want kids to fear me and be a tough guy, whatever. And along that journey, I just fell in love with it. So I got into fitness through that and sports and everything else as well. But more important was like hanging out and you'd meet some girls. I was like, yes, this is awesome.
Right.
But, you know, I started falling in love with how you felt and the confidence you build and all these other things that came along with fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So I got certified, you know, did the big box gym thing for a while and decided to go on my own. I went to school for athletic training, so I'm a certified athletic trainer. And started dealing with athletes and injuries and started putting two and two together. Like, all right, why are these athletes injured? If they had off-season training that was supposed to be the right training, and seeing that there was just no bridge between athletes injured, PT, and then return to play, and feeling that as an athletic trainer, that's my role. So we created Flow Fitness in 2009, and it was a small little studio, like 600 square foot to start off with, and you know, dealing with mostly high school athletes. We had adults and everything else as well, and then through the beauty of networking, I met my friend Denise Lustow she was working for TRX at the time, and she was one of their, you know, first employees. And when she would come to New Jersey and New York, I would just drive her around as a chauffeur, like, hey, I'll take you to this gym, that gym, this gym. And the world of fitness opened up to me through that network of people. And I've met some of the most amazing coaches, whether it be, you know, meeting Mike Boyle or meeting some of the top guys and meeting people who have mom and pop gyms in New Jersey and Connecticut who no one knows of, but they're amazing coaches.
Right.
So that's how my journey, you know, through getting to know you through this and everything else has just been networking.
Yeah. And like, I think maybe the best part, best place to start today, is to go through, you know, some of the lecture stuff that you came in and did at our gym, because you know, people don't know like the backstory of our gym. And I mentioned a couple times on the show, but we have a pretty big staff. Like, I think we have like maybe 16 full-time coaches. And then we have a bunch of part-time people as well that are either, you know, working somewhere else or they, you know, are still in school or whatever. So we have a pretty big staff, and I think what we're lucky to have, we have Mike Boyle kind of at the head of everything, and as a great leader, and just in terms of showing us this is what can happen if you work hard. It's not going to happen overnight, but if you work hard and you're consistent, look at what Mike Boyle and Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning is, 20 years after he started it. So, and you came in it, and I think you did an incredible talk to, because, and I apologize for taking a step back again, but, we have people that come in. We always have new coaches coming in the door, whether it be interns or new hires. And, people stay for 2 or 3 years. They get like an NFL job or an NHL job, or they go work at a college, or they open up their own place, which is awesome.
Right.
But, it's good to kind of reiterate, you guys, this is what it's going to be. This is what you really need to do to be successful in this industry and to be a really great professional and a good person. And that's
right.
Stuff that sometimes gets... And this is why it was so awesome that you're in there. This stuff sometimes falls through the cracks because we're I'm going to another seminar this week, or I'm going to another certification. You're learning more programming. You're learning more like a new methodology. But maybe you're not necessarily realizing a lot of times it's just about being, a hard worker, really good attention to detail, being a polite and empathizing person. Those are things that sometimes get forgotten about. But can you talk a little bit about your discussion from what you did at our gym a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, definitely. The main thing, the topic of it is, I call it LAMP, and that's just leadership applications for movement professionals. But it has another topic or another spin-off to it. If you think about what a LAMP does, is it kind of lights the way through darkness. And it provides that, all right, well, now I can see things I never saw before. And I'm hope through the speech that people start to open their minds to things that they've never thought about before. And I'm providing that light through my words of what I'm talking about throughout the topic. So that's really what the message is behind the entire presentation. Is I want people to know that being a leader is not easy, and it's a privilege. And I think oftentimes people get lost in this thing where, like you said, it's all about programming. It's all about, let's think of 900 ways to do a squat, which is great. And I love people's creativity. But at the end of the day, if you're a jerk, you're just a jerk, and you're not going to make it far being a jerk to a lot of people. So I think you hit the nail on the head when you're saying just being a good person and empathizing and having sympathy and having all these things. And it brings me to a couple of stories. But one thing is, I'm an adjunct professor at a college, and one of the things I do before my coursework is I just, every day when they come in for class, I give 10, 15 minute presentation to them just on life, life lessons and things like that. And one of the things that I always do is I have them draw a picture, and I have them write down what are the things they want, what do they think success is. And they'll all say it's a fitness class. So someone say, open my own gym, have my own this, have my own that, have a car, have money, have all this stuff. I have them draw circles around all that. And then I have them draw the stem of a tree. And I said, now, all right, now what gets to that point? What gets you the car? What gets you the Mike Boyle facility? What gets you all these things? And what, people already talk about hard work, dedication, being persistent, being consistent, being someone who's honest, being someone who's empathetic, being someone with integrity. And they'll list all these things, and then I have them draw roots, and those are the roots of it. So the whole premise is, the visual is, in order to have the fruits, you have to have the roots. And a lot of times people don't have those roots, and they want the fruit. They want the nice gym. They want the logo or brand that people recognize. They want all that stuff, but they're not willing to go through what it takes to get that or be the person it takes to reach that level. And that's what the speech was about. I have 13 qualities of leadership that I've found throughout my journey in fitness, going to these different gyms, meeting different people. And those were the qualities, if you watched the presentation, that I listed there and just told stories about each one or someone I've met that possessed those qualities. And I think you probably know more so than me. I'm sure in Boyle's facility, you've had some amazing presenters come and some guys considered gurus in the industry. And I've had the ability through my network to meet certain people and find out some backstories that aren't so pleasing about certain people.
For sure.
And it's like, dude, I thought this guy was the man, or I thought this person was going to be awesome. And then you meet them and you're like, wow, what a letdown, you know, and a lot of people fake it on camera. And one of the things I've appreciated about Boyle when I first met him was we were at actually Chris Poitier's house from Perform Better. Just, you know, he has a post party and I get invited because my friend Carlos works for them. And I got to meet him by like the cooler, just having a beer. And we had the awesome conversation. It's like, here's this guy who's considered a guru in this industry, mm-hmm. who's just sitting down, has no idea, doesn't know me from a hole in the wall, and is having a legit conversation and just having fun and laughing and joking and so down to earth and so humble. And then you have the opposite side of the spectrum a lot of times. And it was so refreshing to be like, wow, this dude's amazing. Or like, wow, this is a real leader. This is someone who doesn't need to flaunt it, doesn't need to have people worship him or whatever else. Here's someone who just personifies what leadership is. And I think that was why it was such a big deal for me to present about leadership at that facility.
Yeah, those are awesome points to bring up. And this is, it feels so weird to say, like, you know, I feel like I may have brought this up a couple weeks ago too, but like, I feel like I've been doing this for a long time. Like since I was, you know, 18, I was basically training people and that was 12 years ago. So, right. It's like, I feel like I'm getting a little bit old. Then the thing that I have noticed, you know, and I go to, you know, all the Perform Better summits, like literally all the Perform Better summits, I go always at events and getting to, you know, meet great people and meet great presenters. You mentioned like Mike's always going to, like, you see him after the talk, like he will, you know, shake your hand. He takes like 100 pictures. And same thing with like Dan Jeong. Like Dan Jeong will like actually like bear hug you. Like he doesn't know you, but he'll
crush
you. he'll crush you. So, I think the reason why I wanted to kind of, now, one of the reasons why I want to have you on is, you know, we'll talk about the Animal Flow stuff as well. But like, I think these are really important things when we get to, you know, fitness, health, and life that are super huge for people, because, and this is something I can say from personal experience, trust me, you're so much happier if you're a grateful person, if you're a person that always says, hey, good morning, man. Like,
right.
Don't say, hey, say good morning. Like that, even that is a huge difference, and you know what it can do for your energy and just like your kind of presence as well. Those are things that shouldn't just be forgotten about. Those aren't small things; they are very big things, but they only take 1 second to do. So I think, and again, like just from feedback from our staff, like it definitely resonated, you know, with our staff when you got to talk to them, but. You know, you've been able to talk to a lot of like younger coaches and stuff like that, especially like if you get to go into you know, a college setting and talk to people. But, you know, what do you think are the biggest like things that people should be taking, you know, from your discussions, from your lectures and your presentations about like, hey, like it's not super hard. Like you guys just need to like focus on these couple things and as long as you have a good head on your shoulders, you're going to be successful.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and I work at not only college, but I also work as an athletic trainer for a high school. And you know, just dealing with younger kids, first and foremost, one thing I like to take away and talking to the interns is people tend to believe who they hear first.
Yeah.
And when you get kids early enough, not to manipulate them, but if you get them early enough and instill in them the values of, hey, be a good person, be polite, be present, be here, I think that carries them a long way. Then if you get, unfortunately, and I'm not knocking like people who work in the NFL, but because of that environment, you have to be a certain way in the NFL environment.
Sure.
It's a little colder. It's a little more of a business. So if you go as a young intern to a professional environment, you think that's the way you're supposed to act in the high school or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes they get lost in like that there's a certain way you almost have to be because of where you are. And so I like trying to get them earlier, again, high school, college, or whatever else. And because of the instant gratification we have via social media and everything else, they forget that, like you said, Mike Boyle, it took him 20 years to build that place. That didn't happen in year one. In my business, we're on year like six. So I look at it as just a person. I look at it as a baby. At 6 years old, you kind of think, you know, you're just such a baby at that point that you're really still stumbling over stuff and you're trying to figure yourself out as a business. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in the next 10 years, my business can grow to a certain level. If I go, and we can take this talk into like some some of the business coaching outside of, because you've done like Perform Betters and stuff, but I've done stuff that in athletic training world and see presenters in all kinds of walks of life, whether it be business seminars and stuff like that. And some of the guys like, do this. This is the only way to make it is to act this way and be this way. I'm like, whoa, bro, slow down. Like, you're going to have some kid in here who's 22, thinks and has his daddy's money or something, or is going to look for money, and they're going to build a 3,000 square foot facility and build it and put this and do this and put these crazy machines and think they're going to blow it out the water, and no one knows who they are. And you got someone sitting there in debt now, minus $100,000, crying because, like, well, they told me this is the road to success. Yeah, but they missed the whole 138 steps that it took to get to that point, you know? And I think a lot of times that some speakers are a little, I think, irresponsible, because it's, yes, you give them the information of where you're at now, but you also have to paint the grueling picture of what it took to make it to where you are. And I think that's what this whole leadership presentation was like, reading all these books and learning all this stuff from these people, like, how did they get to where they are? And this is the blueprint of how they all, you know, all the greats made it. Mm-hmm. And it's all different ways, different paths, but they all have the same qualities that were able to get them to that level.
Yeah. And I love this. I love this discussion we're having, because I don't care, like, if you're in the industry or not, like, this is stuff that you can apply to life. Like, this is stuff that, you know, you mentioned kind of like presenters and stuff like that. And there's so many great presenters. I don't care, you know, what seminar that you're going to go to. Like, there is a great saying, like, whether it be books or presenters, like, you're never going to get dumber by, like, watching a presentation. Yeah. You're never going to get dumber from reading a book. But the thing that you need to do, I think, is, like, you got to start building up a really good, and this is hard to do once you get right into the industry, but right. You know, you got to build a really good filter for, and taking things with proper context, because there are people like that, you know, presenters that will take, like, oh, this is how you should be coaching. This is how you should be programming. But what makes me love what we do at MBSC and what makes me so proud of what we built with our certification stuff is, like, no, this is what we do, but we just want to show you what we do. But the thing is it's about, you know, systemizing. It's like about making it work for your population, you know, the sport that you're doing, the facility that you have, make it applicable to whatever you do. And it's, you know, all about just having that mindset of a system in place. The thing that you should really, like, you know, I go, like, make sure you can smell that BS, because if someone's telling you this is exactly how you should be doing it, they're probably just trying to sell you something that maybe you don't want to be wanting to purchase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We actually just created a certification called Rudy Rehab, and it's going to be for athletic trainers, eventually maybe PTs and chiropractors and everything else. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it's a system. It's like, you're going to do two core exercises. What core exercises you do all depends on the person you're working with.
Right.
But you're going to do two core exercises, shoulder mobility or whatever. So we have a system in place for rehab design, and it's called rooted rehab in the sense that we try to find the root of the problem and then fix the root, and then everything else should kind of fix itself. But most people go into with athletic training degrees and go into developing rehab programs, and they're like, oh, your shoulder hurts. Well, I learned these five exercises in college, so I'm going to do those five only. And every single shoulder injury fits that criteria. Like, no way. So we need to do a proper assessment, find out what that person needs, and then have a systematic approach to fixing their need or helping their need. But you can't just say these three things are going to be the end-all be-all of, let's say, knee injuries or whatever.
Right.
So it's similar to what you guys talk about in fitness. Like, you develop something that's a system. At Flow, we have the same thing. We have a system. What you put in there depends on the clientele you're working with. I'm just showing you the system. So when you come to Flow, you know exactly how you're training, but everyone's doing something different because it's a system, but that person needs something else. This kid's a hockey player. This person just wants to lose some weight. They're doing similar things, but completely different at the same time.
We're going to pause for just a second so I can talk to you guys about our great sponsor, Organifi. I think you have already gone over, and hopefully if you haven't already, we're talking about saving 20%. That's a lot, guys. That's like taking 1/5 right off the top, no problem. And you get access to their great lineup of products, including green juice and their daily turmeric boost. And if you probably checked them out, I know they're a little bit on back order now. Like, that stuff is selling so fast that it is kind of out of stock for some things right now, but you can put in your order and it will ship whenever it's ready. Plus, as I mentioned in the past, you get a 30-day no questions asked, money-back guarantee on their products. If for any reason you find like you don't like their products, but again, it's really hard to find a really good greens product, and their green juice delivers. It delivers on the ingredients, it delivers on the taste and the consistency. It's so great to have those go packs with me when I'm traveling, when I'm just running around doing errands and making sure that I get in some good nutrition throughout the day. So what I want you to do is go to Organifi.com, use that code FITCAST to save 20%. This is the last week it's going to be active, so get in on it now so you can get that 20% off. Like I said before, you have a money-back guarantee, but I am confident that if you go and try their greens juice, you go try their daily turmeric boost, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be like, all right, well, I'm just going to place a monthly order and get on that subscription, be good to go. Save even more that way. So again, it's Organifi.com, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I.com. The code is FITCAST to save 20% off. Go check them out before it is too late. Let's get back to the show. Let's and we'll bounce back and forth because I think that, you know, this is definitely some more we can get a little bit deeper on that, right. But just to shake it up for the audience, and you know, I have a bad habit of like really getting into the industry side of things, and you know, there's, you know, half the audience is people that like, yeah, I just want to, how can I lift better? How can I train better? How can I be, you know, a better mover and stuff like that? So let's talk about Animal Flow, because I'm coming at someone with basically zero knowledge on this subject. I talked to people that I've respected who believe in Animal Flow and think there are a lot of great takeaways from it. From the outside looking in, like if you're like outside and you're looking through the glass window and you see a bunch of people crawling around, like, well, okay, what are they really getting out of it and stuff like that. So what is Animal Flow? Can give me like the quick breakdown of what it is and, you know, how it could be beneficial to someone that is just someone that's going in and doing a warm up, they're doing some strength training, and then they're getting out of there.
Yeah. So the quick like elevator sales pitch, would be, it's a movement practice. And you're basically using animal movements to help the human movement or the human person. So I think one of the things that people get misconceptions is that it's a thing that you only do that thing. The Animal Flow certification is we're teaching you all these different movements to teach you how to move better. So by crawling like a beast or whatever, how's that going to help you with running mechanics? Well, we can talk about opposition. We can talk about core stabilization. We can talk about shoulder placement, hip placement, all those things. But we're just getting people back to the ground and getting them in touch with themselves and being able to move on the floor and being able to have that closed kinetic chain for the upper body. It almost creates a release in your body. Like, oh, okay, this feels natural. This feels great. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talk about with Animal Flow is that we did not invent any of these movements. It was something that's been around for thousands, if not longer, you know, years and years and years of evolution. And our body's able to do these moves, but sometimes because of our modern day life of sitting in chairs all day, of really never really having to move our body in certain ways, we forget and our body loses it and we lose the ability to move. And you'll watch it and you'll be like, oh, that's so easy. Like, so the inventor of Animal Flow, if I can backtrack real quick, is Mike Fitch. And Mike Fitch is this, you know, guy from Miami who invented this, and he basically took parkour, breakdancing, gymnastics, and put it all together in this program, and he called the program Animal Flow. And when I first saw him doing stuff, I'm like, oh my god, dude, like, this guy's getting paid to do this, are you serious? Like, that was my first thought, because I'm like, this is so the easiest thing in the world. And a friend of mine, Doc Perry, had taken the course, and another friend of mine was coming from Puerto Rico and taking it. So she was like, oh, you should take it with me. I'm like, I'm not gonna do this. I saw videos, I'm like, this looks easy, I can do it. And so I call my buddy Perry because I know he had taken it. He's like, dude, it's legit. Try it out, whatever. So I take it, and the simplest things that look so easy to the outside are so difficult for us. Like, just stabilizing your body in certain positions and having to rotate and twist and move through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, most programs are lacking transverse plane exercises. Right. So you can, and what I loved about the program is it's so free. Because you can take it as a practice and try to master it like you would like a yoga and get harder moves. Or you can use it as, all right, I want to use this for my dynamic warm-up only and use it as that. Or you can take it and put it like, all right, between sets, we're going to do these exercises to help reset our body and learn how to retract, depress our scapula. So it's so many different variations you can use it for. And that's the beauty of it. And you don't need any equipment. So it's like, all right, it's not like you have to go out and buy, because most of these certifications you take, they're selling you their equipment. Mm-hmm. And then they're teaching you exercises with their equipment. And it's like, all right, cool, but how do I do this if I don't have this tool? with Animal Flow, there's nothing to buy. We're teaching you how to move the way we were meant to move and saying, all right, now go out and move more. And I think that, to me, is the beauty of it and why it's so good for advanced fitness professionals, because you'll see the moves, and when you do them yourself, you're like, oh, a light bulb's going to go off, how you can use it in your programming. And for the beginner people who've never really done fitness or just getting into fitness, the moves have so many regressions that you're like, oh, okay, this feels good. This feels pretty comfortable. It's tough, but I'm not dying. And I don't have to – it's low impact. Like, you know, some people are right away, they want to do hang cleans and burpees day one in the workout, and the person can barely hold themselves up. So this really breaks it down, and it tires you and exhausts you, and you'll be sweating like crazy without barely doing that much movement.
So is the best way to implement this stuff is in a warm up, or is it in like as a kind of a filler in a circuit, like in a triset, or right. Is it like something that you should do on your off days just to get in some extra movement? Where is it best fit? Where's the best fit?
The best answer for that is wherever you want it.
That's what I was thinking.
And that's the crazy, and that's the beauty of it. And that's also the hard part. And going back to what we were talking about earlier with the students and instant gratification and everything else, people want to say, give me this. I just want to do this. Like, this is something where now we're opening your creativity back up and saying, hey, listen, you can use this wherever, however you want. You can do it for time. You can do it for sets. You can do it for reps. You can do it as a warm-up. You can do it as a filler. You can do it as a standalone practice and just drill stuff on your own or create your own flows and then try and master the flow you created. There's so many things you can do with it that it honestly, and I've been teaching for about 2 years for them as an instructor, and some people come back so frustrated after taking it because they're like, but what do I do with it? And it's like, whatever you want to do with it, you know, that's the beauty. It's human movement.
Well, I can definitely understand the positivity of that, but I guess, you know, for people that are you know, wanting to implement this stuff, is there some structure in there in terms of like, or maybe even for you, like your go-to movements that are like your big bang for buck, like that you're going to use for most of the general population to you know, to improve movement?
Yeah, I mean, they have what we call form-specific stretches in there, mm-hmm. where you're doing one of the forms, but you're doing a stretch through it. And we use that a ton for our warm-ups, just to get the body open. One of the things I always like to tell people is we're trying to extend in the world full of flexion, because so many people are stuck in flexion all day.
Right.
A lot of moves are making your body just extend and open up. So that for those, that stuff is awesome, easy to use, easy to implement day one with your clients. What I'll do for a lot of people with this after certification is I'll, if you have the manual, it has exercise ideas in the manual, mm-hmm. but I'll also send them some of my programming so they can see where I've plugged it in. So, you know, a person might come in, foam roll for 5 minutes, and then we may go through three or four Animal Flow form specific stretches so they can open their body up, and then we'll go on to our dynamic warm up and then strengthening right afterwards. So we will plug it into our system if we want to switch it, and maybe we'll do some mini band work as our activation, and then our dynamic warm up or movement portion will be in Animal Flow traveling forms. So like a lateral ape where you're down and reaching and you know, pushing your body across, or a beast crawl or crab walk, and then go on to our strengthening after that. So we'll plug it in different ways for our programming. Some people have sold it kind of as a group fitness class. The best way to do that, and if anybody's looking to do that with Animal Flow, is to that I've seen the most success, is to sell it as like a dance class. You know, a dancer's class, you'll buy six classes up front, because it can build on itself. So if you're creating one long flow at the end of the class, it makes it easier instead of having to teach everyone who walks in as a group fitness class brand new moves. You're just teaching them certain move sets and then building something from there.
I don't know why I'm even bringing this up, but you know, it makes me think of like capoeira, like you know, martial arts, kind of like dance kind of stuff, like great, super fluid movement and stuff like that, which is really, really awesome. So I guess my next question is, what, this is like a concept, and I'm going to swear for a second, guys. So if you have the kids earmuffs for just a second, I apologize, but it kind of is the point. But, you know, like one of my first, actually it was literally my first staff meeting at NBSC like 7 years ago. you know, wanted to like ask Mike Lara, or, you know, I saw some questionable form from kids and stuff like that, or from adults and the groups and stuff. It's like, how shitty is too shitty? Like what, for Animal Flow, my question is like, what is like acceptable as they're kind of going through these movements? Are there very strict like coaching cues that we should be looking at? Or is it just like, you know, we want to just make some more, you know, general, you know, movement, and they're going to get the benefits just from like, you know, moving through these patterns?
No, there's a lot of cueing stuff with it, especially like in the static beast position. Mm-hmm. Basically that's like you're on all fours, your hands are directly in for your shoulders, and your knees are about like lined up with your belly button. And then you're coming onto your toes and holding your knees just an inch off the ground. Mm-hmm. And we're stressed at just an inch off the ground, because just that little holding yourself up, you'll see people start to shake right away, because they're used to piking their butt right up and holding that high position. Can they stabilize through their spine, through their midsection to lock that in? Are their hands corkscrewed into the ground? So basically we're trying to externally rotate from the shoulder really lock that hand position in. Are their heels pushing back? So we talk about a lot about tensegrity throughout the Animal Flow certification, like pushing with your hands one way, pushing with your feet the opposite way to create that stability. Similar to if you had a rope and you want to tighten it up, you'll grab both ends and pull them away from each other, tighten up that rope. So we talk a ton about tensegrity through it, because when a lot of times when people are lifting, they're creating tension nowhere else but where they're lifting at. Mm-hmm. And I know after taking the Animal Flow course and taking Dr. Emily's barefoot course, just doing a bicep curl now, like I'm squeezing the ground with my feet, I'm squeezing my glutes, I'm creating this total body tension to the point where like nothing else is really moving but my arms. But to the outside looking in, you'll look and be like, oh, that guy he's standing upright and just curling. Like, no, there's so much tension in my body when doing that. And to be able to do a lot of these body weight exercises, you have to integrate the entire body. And if you look at programming now, tons of people are doing isolation moves. So they're just doing one thing, a lat pull down, they're sitting down in a chair and everything else. Mm. So when they go to do a pull up or something really dynamic, they're still thinking they're in that chair, and their hips and feet and everything else aren't doing anything whatsoever. So that global communication in their body is just not there. So transfer that to an athlete. When you try to cut in the field or move, now all of a sudden, if you have that communication from foot to hip to core to arm to everything else, think about how more explosive that athlete is. Or someone just starting out who has no concept of where their body is in space and almost has amnesia of how their body can move right. Now we're teaching the entire body to communicate and work together. So when that person wants to lose more weight or wants to get in better physical aesthetic condition and wants to look a certain way, now if we can get their body communicating globally, now suddenly results come so much quicker. Mm. And it's like, oh, wow, I get it now. Like I feel my glutes in my squat versus squat, 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 hope they feel their glutes at some point. Now we can teach them to move and cue these movements like a crab reach. We're cueing you to press through your hips, through your heels, through the floor to get your hips all the way up before reaching over and extending the body.
Where's the best place for people if they are curious about, you know, playing around with some of this stuff, getting some more information, maybe not thinking about like going all in on the course, but again, thinking about the people that may just be the, you know, lift 3 days a week and they would like to get in some more movement and stuff like that. The wild, wild west of the internet kind of has this where, like, when I was getting, you know, some research for the show, like going into YouTube, typing in Animal Flow and seeing like a billion videos from 1,000 different instructors and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, is there like a recommended place for people to go and maybe check out just like what one of the classes would look like, or what, you know, what potentially some of the structure would look like?
If you go to the website, animalflow.com, it has a little bit of stuff, a little bit of background about the course. It has places you can go where there are Animal Flow certified instructors, where you can go learn from them. It also has, you can take like classes, not necessarily online, but it gives you the schedule if you want to sign up for one of the classes to get certified. People who aren't personal trainers can also come take a course. It's a discounted rate. They don't get the certification at the end, but at least they have all the information, which honestly, with most certifications, that's all you really want is the information. Mm-hmm. So you can go there. If you do look online, I would say like on the world of YouTube, make sure that the instructor is like Mike Fitch or, you know, one of the master instructors, not just somebody who's saying they're doing Animal Flow and doing random stuff. Because like you said, and that's a very good point about are there certain cues, like when we cue our people, we're giving them cues on what they should be looking for, what is a good movement and what's not appropriate movement for what we're trying to teach.
Got it. Yeah, and I think this is something that you know, and I'll try to put myself in like a little bit of a third person. Like, if I'm tuning in and listening to this, like, I'm thinking potentially, like, oh, I don't need to do that stuff. But I will say, as someone that has personally, you know, tried some of the movements, like, luckily I work with some people that have, you know, checked out some of that stuff. And I think what we can all at least agree on is that we should be getting some more quality movement in our lives, and maybe, like, I don't know if this is the right word for it, but, like, you know, freestyling it a little bit, not just be stucking like in two planes, but moving multi-planar a little bit more, even if it's just like, all right, you know, it's Tuesday, it's my off day, and, you know, I could like just go ride the bike for half an hour, or, you know, what if I just did like a bunch of movement stuff, and you're still going to get your heart rate up. It's still going to be challenging. You're still going to sweat, but you're actually going to be able to like not be stuck in a hip flex position for 30 minutes while you do it.
That touches upon a couple of points. And one of the things I always stress is that, you know, I remember reading in Brain Rules by John Medina, one of the books, is that it was talk about your emotional, your movement, and your cognitive function all stem from cerebellum. So basically, the more you move, the better your emotions you can control, and the more you have more cognitive function, you can think more clearly. And when people get stuck in those, like you said, two planes, it's amazing. When you start to move, and this gets into the mindset part of it, your mind starts to change. As I started doing Animal Flow, I noticed I had more creativity in everything else I was doing in life. It had nothing to do with the gym. All of a sudden, I'm reading stuff, and things are starting to click, and dots are starting to get connected. And it was, honestly, when I started like really diving into this practice, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I feel so much better. And not only that, I was moving so much, like, so effortlessly. One of the things that's cool is we'll have some hand balancers come into the courses, and people who do handstands all day, you know, and do these cool movements, and we'll get them into a deep eight position. And there's a move called levitating side kick through, where you're basically in deep eight position, and you're going to kick like a breakdancing move and rotate back into like almost a handstand position, but a tuck position. And just adding that rotation, there's guys who can handstand all day that can't rotate into a handstand, though. And it's like, wow, you've never twisted into this movement. You've only gone in that sagittal plane and just held yourself up.
Exactly.
Which is fascinating. It's like, this person can hold a handstand for 20 minutes, but they can't rotate to get into that handstand. They can only, you know, lean forward and get into it. So adding those different planes of motion and all that other stuff is fascinating. And it's what we need to do more of, like you said, as opposed to riding a bike for cardio. Let's get them on the ground, rolling, twisting, bending, doing all kinds of cool movements. And all of a sudden, they're going to get gassed, trust me. And the fatigue will set in. And a lot of times, the fatigue is the central nervous system saying, what the heck are you doing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's sleep afterwards because you're going to be so tired.
Yeah, I think it maybe this is again, like, this is like almost like a good wake-up call for me. But, you know, it is going to be, you know, beneficial to not just working like, you know, in sagittal plane all the time, you know, in frontal plane all the time. Like, we got to make sure that we're actually like just not going forward and backwards and inside of side, but, you know, looking a little bit more multi-planar in what we do, because even like pretty much like everything we're trying to simplify, right? We're trying to make sure it's something that like the general population can do for the most part, something that, you know, will be safe. It will build strength, and, you know, for most people, it's going to just jack up their heart rate so we can burn some calories too as they get stronger. So, yeah. So I guess maybe the next place I would go, and maybe we kind of started hitting on it a little bit, but what's like a good starting point? I guess if you did have, and people will probably end up having to, like, you know, maybe look at these and go check out some videos of it. But like, say if you had like 15 minutes on an off day, like what would you do for that general population person that's just like, you know, the office worker, someone that's sitting at the desk a lot but trains a bunch and wants to make sure that they get in some good movement?
With them, I would first think about work, because the issue we have sometimes with Animal Flow is people aren't used to being on their hands.
Right.
So we always start off with some wrist mobility stuff. So just working on that to start off is great. Just rolling your wrist and doing wrist waves. We call wrist relief position when you have the back of your hands pressed together and kind of almost like a reverse prayer position, if you will. I think that's a good start, just to get their wrists moving, and then just getting on the ground and doing some crawling patterns. We have our forward beast, our lateral beast, and reverse beast. Just doing those crawling patterns in different ways, I think it is so beneficial, because now all of a sudden the person has to have that neutral spine, have that body in a perfect alignment, and stabilizing while they're crawling, because we don't want the hips to shift too much while we stabilize. And I think for general population, it's great. And also for kids, because kids love to be on the ground. You put a cone on a kid's back and say, all right, I want you to do this crawl over there. Make sure that cone doesn't fall. And you'll see kids having the time of their life crawling around with a cone on their back or whatever. So there's so many different ways you can implement it. So for general pop, I think it's just getting on the ground, start doing some of the movements. You know, if you've taken the course, or if you see some of the content, some of the stuff is hard. And the biggest thing I tell people is just don't get discouraged at it. And it is a practice like everything else. So the more you do it, the better you'll get. And the more you'll do it, the more you'll realize that it's not just what you thought it was. And as crazy as that sounds, it's like you'll crawl for a while and you'll be like, oh, I'm just crawling. And then after a while, you'll start realizing like, wow, my oblique on this side is firing more than my oblique on the other side. How come this side's easier than that? How come my right shoulder can lock in? My left has a hard time. I keep bending that left elbow. And you'll start finding the weaknesses in your body. And that's why I think is one of the beauties of it.
What else in terms of like your, and this is probably something I should have started off with a little bit more, just to give some background on you, but like, what is your general, like, you know, programming and, you know, strength training methodology and your philosophy with how you work with people?
My thing is, I often tell people, I treat my sessions like chocolate covered vegetables. And the reason I say that is because we start off with soft tissue work. We start off with the basic activations, because I want to get people to feel their body and do like the quote unquote like rehab type exercises to correct, or you in FMS world you call them correctives, to correct what's wrong with them. So it's giving people stuff they need, but also you have to sprinkle in the things that they want, and it's a needs wants balance with your sessions. So once we do a lot of the activation stuff, the soft tissue work at the beginning of the session, whether it be foam rolling, using the AccuMobility ball, using the Eclipse roller, mobility stick or stick mobility, all that stuff, we'll do that. And then we'll get into, all right, you say you have these goals. Now we'll plug you into our programming. We usually do two blocks in our programming, and it's three exercises per block. So maybe like a bilateral leg, bilateral push-pull, and some kind of core. And then unilateral leg, unilateral push-pull, and some form of rotation. And that's really the meat and potatoes of what we do. And what we plug in there depends on the person we're working with. If it's a college athlete looking to go D1 or is at D1 school, you may load them up a lot more versus someone who just wants to look good in a bikini.
Right.
You may load them less, but they may be doing some sandbag stuff, pulling things around. We try to add as much twisting and rotational stuff as possible into our sessions, because we feel that power lies in the transverse plane. That's something Doc Perry always taught me, is that's where our power lies. So if we can get people to rotate and twist and be strong in that, then everything else will kind of take care of itself as they're doing their squats and deadlifts and everything else. But we like to load them up and load them up with everything, all kinds of different stuff. And that's one thing I learned from Josh Hankins taking the DVRT course, is we change all the variables. Like, okay, you can lift this weight, you can squat this weight. Can you squat this weight in a staggered stance? Can you squat this weight going 5 seconds down, hold 3 seconds, come back up? Can you squat this weight with kettlebells instead of dumbbells, or a sandbag instead of a barbell? And it's the same motion. We're just loading up different ways to kind of trick the body.
That's a great thing to bring up. One, for two reasons. One, because I got to talk to Josh again and get him back on the show, because it's been a couple months. And, you know, two, like what Josh has been able to do with DVRT is like, it's a great example. And also, like, you know, Strong First and RKC has been able to do this as well, is show that you don't necessarily need to lift heavier to get stronger. And a lot of times it's like, it's almost making what's the word like I'm looking for, like inefficiency to a certain extent of like you're almost lifting in a more inefficient way as a little bit more of a exactly. Yeah. So you're getting a little bit more of a challenge on there, especially, again, we work with mostly people that, yes, we're trying to get them stronger, but it's also, you know, body composition, the health benefits that they're going to get from that, and the, you know, the whole looking good naked at the beach and all that. Not at the beach. I mean, looking good naked. Or
unless I think the one thing you touched upon, which is huge, when working with people, there's a point of diminishing returns.
Right.
And there's a point where you're lifting so much in this one plane that now you can't do anything else. And we've all heard the story of the guy, oh my God, you're in great shape, you look jet, blah, blah, blah. And then they go play basketball and they tear their ACL just pivoting for 2 seconds. And you're like, how the hell did you hurt that? Or they go and reach in their trunk and all of a sudden slip a disc. And it's like, you just squatted 350 pounds and you can't lift up a grocery bag. Mm. Like, there's something really wrong there. And again, if it's your sport, if you're a power lifter, yes, you have to lift heavy. If you're Olympic, you have, depending on what your sport is, if you're a regular person who just has kids and wants to like be stronger, why are we trying to max you out on bench?
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. If that's what your life goal is, to be healthy, for wellness, for longevity, then maybe you should not be loading you up and focus more on your movement patterns and load you that way with a band or something else. Yeah, it's cool, we can have you bench too. That's not to say get rid of it. It's still a great exercise. But at what point is it, all right, you've done that enough, let's do something else.
Yeah, love it. I mean, it's a whole conversation that we as coaches and trainers, we're always, and even you, if you're like listening and you're programming for yourself or looking at other programs, like, it's diminishing returns, it's risk versus reward. It's like, all right, are we making sure that we're keeping our focus on the actual goal? Like, if you have, it's a general client, but like the fat loss client, or like the kid that's like going to like play baseball or something like that, like, do they need to really trap our deadlift 500 pounds if it's like a 45-year-old who's looking to just lose 30 pounds? Like,
exactly.
No, like, we could probably just kind of, we got to a certain point, you're in, you were stayed safe. It was good coaching, but let's move on to something else. It's a little bit more of a challenge. Let's continue to see if we can progress, but without having to, go from 400 to 450. Like, we don't have to do
that.
But before we do wrap up, which, holy crap, it's already been 45 minutes. and we'll definitely have to get you on again, because this is like always like a good thing to do, for the show. You know, if people haven't been able to check out your stuff just yet, they'll have an opportunity to go do that, and then we can come back and do some follow up stuff. And I'm sure I'm going to have some more questions on stuff that we discussed. But the thing that I would love to kind of like wrap up with is, for the people that are listening. Actually, two things. I'm going to put in one more question too, because you read a lot, and there's maybe the best way I want to put this is, what's been the most impactful book on you this year? We're 9 months or ten oh crap, we're 10 months into the year. What's the most impactful book that you've read in 2016?
Oh man, that's such a great question.
You have to pick one, because what I hate is people that read 1,000 books and not like 1,000 books, but then they just read them. They don't use any of that information. Like, I was talking with Brian Patrick Murphy about this a couple weeks ago. Like, all right, I want the book that made the difference, because not everyone's going to read a book every week, like some of us crazy people.
Right. The book that changed a lot for me was, Relentless by Tim Grover.
All right, yeah.
Which, and for those who haven't read it,
Jordan's trainer, right?
Yeah, Michael Jordan's trainer. But it really goes into the mindset of what, and this circles back perfectly to what we talked about at the beginning of this, of what it takes to be great. And it's not one step, it's not one thing, it's a relentless pursuit of like basically of almost trying to reach mastery or perfection, knowing you're never going to get there. But throughout the pursuit of it, you reach mastery, and other people call you a master. You never call yourself that. That's for everyone else to decide. But you're just trying to get somewhere that no one really knows where you're trying to go, but it's a clear vision in your head, and you keep pushing towards it and pushing towards it, and along the way, success starts to happen. And I think that's, looking at Boyle's facility and what he's done there, and things I'm trying to accomplish, and things my friends who really made it really successful in this industry are trying to do. they're just pursuing something, and along the way there's people who are like, hey, you want to come on the podcast or something like this, you want to do this show, you want to do this interview, we want to present in this place, and through that more people start following them along their path, but they have a path that no one else really sees. And reading Relentless really shows you what it took to be a Michael Jordan, a Kobe Bryant, a Dwayne Wade, and it's all this stuff. Like, the thing is, the quote where people praise you in public for what you do in private, and the practice, the hours these guys put in to be great, and everything that happened behind the scenes. You know, you see Michael Jordan shoot a free throw with his eyes closed, and you think, wow, he's magical. He just did that. Meanwhile, you didn't see for like months he's practicing this shot for that moment, you know? And I think that book opened my eyes to what greatness really is and what it takes. And that since then, it's been a relentless pursuit of the things that I want to achieve.
Hell yeah. And this is as we're doing selfishly, as if we're doing book recommendations as well, one that I've been reading and I'm going to throw out to people, and this is like completely out of left field, is the book on the story of McDonald's, which, yeah, this is Ray Kroc's book. It's actually really good. And now that I don't have my Kindle in front of me, I don't, Grinding It Out, The Making of McDonald's, is a book that came out I think it came out last month, but, you can pick it up. It's like, it's $7. It's a really cheap, book, and it's, they're actually doing a movie on it, which I think is coming out later this year or something, or maybe it already came out. I'm not sure. Maybe it was like a smaller movie, but, really fascinating story. And the thing that I like most about it is it just like is a really kind of like positive entrepreneur story. It's a fun read, like whether you obviously McDonald's is terrible for you, but like, you know, it's still very interesting to.
It didn't start that way though, I guess, right?
So, it didn't, but like it also kind of gets into some of that stuff as well. Like they have like what it was, 30,000 30,000 McDonald's restaurants on the planet. That's kind of the story how they got to that. So go and check that out if you want another book recommendation. Maybe I'll bring back the book club soon and we can do that. But hell yeah, this was awesome, Chris. Let's wrap up with just like kind of like letting people know where they can check out your stuff and follow you and get some more information on what you're up to.
Honestly, we post so much on Facebook and social media, so that's a good way to follow us. It's FLO_fitness. That's mm-hmm. FLO_fitness without the W. So we have stuff like that on Instagram, on Twitter. If you follow on Facebook, it's Chris Flow. We post a lot of content and a lot of stuff on there. Our website is FLOfitnessBH.com. That's FLOfitnessBH.com. And BH stands for Brawl House, which is where our facility is located inside of. So those things are pretty much where we post most of our stuff. We do a ton of networking events in New York City, in New Jersey, just to get trainers together and hang out and talk shop. We host a lot of seminars ourselves. We attend a lot of seminars. So if you follow us on there, you'll run into me somewhere.
Awesome. Yeah, like lots of really great stuff. And New York is kind of, you know, with you guys out there and with, you know, Mark Fisher, like this is kind of turning into the place to be. And Mark's actually taken Mark has kind of stepped up. He's like, yeah, like we're all doing these events. Let's just make sure we're all on the same page and we're not like overlapping and scheduling and stuff like that. So, right. Yeah. So we're all on Facebook and trying to make sure we're not doing 18 certifications all in the same weekend. So we're kind of, you know, making it hard for everyone to get to everything. So, it's really, really awesome stuff. And, lastly, before we go, I just want to quickly say thank you to the audience out there, as always, for supporting the show. Right now, don't have a sponsor for the show as of this recording. The Pedestal guys were with us for quite a while and looking for the right sponsor to kind of fill their shoes and help support the show. But right now, the audience, you guys that are listening right now, especially if you're a Patreon, like you guys are really the ones that are helping me produce this show every single week. So patreon.com/thefitcast. If you guys really like this show, it means so much if you become a Patreon. It's like at a per episode rate. So you can do $1 per episode. Some people do $5 per episode. There's some crazy generous, awesome people that do like $10 per episode. Thank you so much to everyone that does support the show, because it's got to be free. I got to make sure that this show continues to be free and anyone can get access to it. Even episode one, which is don't go listen to episode one. Pretend like that disappeared There's a 20-year-old Kevin Larrabee on that show. That guy's a butthead, so I wouldn't want to listen to that one. So, yeah, but I really appreciate anyone that does go into patreon.com/thefitcast or makes a one-time or a monthly donation through PayPal. Just want to say thank you guys because as life gets busier and busier, I still love doing this show, and that makes it so I can continue to set aside the time to put all this stuff together for the incredible audience out there. And Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. This has been a huge blast, and that kind of makes up for me missing the in-service a couple of weeks ago, but I definitely have to be talking to you again down the road.
Listen, thanks for having me. Any opportunity I get to speak and reach different people with the message, I'm always happy and blessed to have that opportunity. So I'm looking forward to coming on again soon sometime.
Love it. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the FitCast. Again, really appreciate everyone supporting the show. Don't forget, you can submit reviews on iTunes. It's another way to support. Or just let a friend know. If you have a friend that's in the industry or into fitness, guess what? There's about 1,000 hours of, or maybe let's say like 600 hours of audio that people can go back and listen to if they want some great free fitness, nutrition, and health information. Thank you so much again for listening. We'll see you next time.